This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hi, and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here at Plains FM 96.9. My name's Martine and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of the show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help, and then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every meeting.
I'm Anne, I'm an alcoholic. AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So, what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you don't have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model, and the victim is as helpless as the sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you're at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is very often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it's an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is, one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink, and this makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who's just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So let's meet our guests. I just wonder if you could introduce yourself and give us a quick sketch of who you are.
Okay, I'm Anne, I'm an alcoholic, and I am 58 years of age. I have got 27 years of sobriety, and I grew up on a farm near Oxford, and yeah, I'm a salesperson, bra fitter, so I work in retail, and yeah.
Could you tell us when you started drinking and how it progressed?
I'm not too sure when I first started. I think I was about 15. And I don't know, I always wanted to drink because I thought that's the way you have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, my life was always a bit boring and thought, well, I need to have a bit of fun. And and I was a blackout drinker, and not all the time, but sometimes, yeah, and the blackouts wouldn't be good. Like at the beginning, it used to be fun, you know, and you'd piece things together of what I used to do. Whereas at the end, it was just, I didn't want to know because I knew it wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you drink? Was it socially? Was it alone? Were you a binge drinker, a daily drinker?
I wasn't a daily drinker, but I would drink with other friends, but I'd always sort of have some drinks before I went anywhere. Yeah. I thought that's the way that, you know, it gives you confidence and stuff. Yeah.
Bit of Dutch courage.
Yeah.
And when did you think it was a problem, and did you ever try to stop?
I did. I knew that my uncle and my grandfather were alcoholics, mm-hmm. but my parents weren't. And back in about 26, I was living in Dunedin, and things happened. People died in my family, and I had a lot of resentments, and especially towards one person that died, and that sort of helped me with my alcoholism, I guess, because all I wanted to do was drink. But then I found, you know, the blackouts were getting to me, and anyway, I rang AA when I was in Dunedin, and I did it in an office where nobody was there, and somebody who I used to drink with at work asked me, "What are you doing?" And I saw ringing AA, and she said, "Oh, don't do that, we can do it by ourselves." So I hung up, of course, and went out. I think one night I didn't drink, and the next night I was back into it all again.
So that was the plan?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you end up getting back into AA, getting into AA?
My partner at the time, we would go out. He worked for a big company, and they'd have drinks after work on a Friday night, and that, and I'd be drinking with my mates from my work at another part of town, and then I'd be go and meet him and have drinks with them, and quite often I couldn't remember what had been happening, and you know, and I was forever injuring myself as well, you know.
Right.
And we end up having a talk the next day or something, so I thought, maybe I do need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. So I rung up and I went. And it was a bit weird, but the lady that was going to take me to my first meeting, which was in Kaiapoi, and I was living in Hornby at the time, but she wasn't going that week. She was going the following week. So I thought, oh, that's right, we're going over to the coast for a week. So I did quite a bit of drinking then, but I had inside me kept thinking, well, this is the end of it, you know, this is the last I'll be drinking. And it was nearly the last I was going to be drinking.
So you came back from the coast and you went to your meeting. How was that first meeting?
Oh, it was great. I finally felt like I belonged somewhere. I always felt like I didn't fit in with my family. They all had got married early fairly early, and had children, and that didn't happen to me. But I used to keep things to myself, though. I wouldn't tell anybody, or I'd sometimes tell things to my mother. But, yeah, I had a lot of resentments and a lot of things against people. So
when you went to the meeting, could you relate to what they were saying?
Oh, yeah, I could, yeah.
What's
they were telling my story, really, right, about wanting to give up but not being able to. About everything, the not fitting in part, the disease of a denial. But I did actually pick up again, but it was only 1.5 cans of beer, and I tipped it down the rest of it down the sink, and I haven't had a drink since.
Do you know why you did that?
Because I knew it wasn't the answer.
But I mean, before that, were you emotionally upset?
Yeah, I was. Right. Yeah. I was emotionally to do with work.
Right.
And I drove around to a few different bottle stores, and then I didn't buy anything. But I walked in home, and I was living with another drinker.
Right.
And there was 2 cans of beer in the fridge. But I tried to ring one person, or might have been 2 people, but nobody was home. So, and I was such a mess afterwards because I knew it wasn't the answer.
Yeah.
So went back to AA again, and
sort of before you went to your meeting, was there any sort of specific event that you would call that led to a rock bottom? Was there anything specific, or was it the combination of a whole lot of things, of the way that you felt and things like that?
A combination of the way I felt.
Right. So you had talked about the blackout drinking as well with your partner. And did anything actually happen anything bad when you couldn't actually remember what happened that night when you were out with his work?
Yeah, I'd change. I'd get a bit, like the Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
I would, a bit lippy and, just my behaviour was a lot different.
So you talked too about having a slip that you quickly moved on from, but what sort of skills and things, what do you do or what did you do since then when something bad would happen or would you get emotional or something would upset you? What were some of the skills and things that you would use to make sure that that didn't happen again?
That I'd talk to somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sponsor who was in the program, and a sponsor's somebody that you can work the steps with, you bond with and you work the program with. And so I talked to her or other people in the fellowship about it.
Right.
And I also changed a lot of my friends as well, because I met more people in AA. And,
sure.
Yeah. I married another person in AA as well. So.
Do you mind me asking how you find that?
Good most of the time. I've got to work my program and he's got to work his. I mean, I can suggest things and vice versa. But, we're our own people,
So you've managed to stay sober now for 27, coming up 28 years, which I think is amazing, and it goes to show that the AA program works. So what are some of the things that you do to make sure that you stay on track, that this continues?
Going to meetings,
mm-hmm.
reading the big book, and talking to other people in the fellowship.
And what about service? Has that been an important part of your recovery?
Yes, it is, yeah. I used to be a secretary at Kaiapoi at one stage. I was a secretary at Hornby
mm-hmm.
meeting at one stage. I was treasurer of Intergroup at one stage, and I did the public speaking, the organising of it. For a couple of years,
Right. Oh, that's excellent. So could you just tell us what your life's like today, now that you've been, sober for all this time? What does it look like? What does it feel like?
It's pretty good. I don't even think about drinking.
Right.
It's not on my horizon, really. And yet, I can be with other people that are drinking, and it doesn't really bother me. But I don't like the smell of it. Yeah, and most people realise that I am an alcoholic, but I still do the same things, like I still meet up with friends from work and go out for a meal or something like that, but I don't make a fool of myself these days.
Yeah, sure. And what about your relationships with family and friends and loved ones and stuff? How do your relationships now compared to when you used to drink?
Probably better than what they were, but I'm also a bit closer because I had an event that happened a year and a half ago, and they all came up to see me, and because most of them live down south. So I am probably a lot closer than what I used to be as well.
Nice. So you were saying now that your life, now that you're sober, is really good most of the time, and sometimes, of course, we all have challenges. Can you tell us some of the challenges that you have and how it is that you deal with them?
My challenges of late has been to do with my medication that I get for. I've got two infections on my graft of my aorta, and they get the medication from overseas, and of course they can't get the medication because of COVID, and so I'm having to go have a PICC line in my arm, and I'm having to go to Nurse Maud every day to get that sorted. And tomorrow's a work day, so I'll be going to work after that. And it's just, at first I thought I was going backwards because about a year and a quarter ago, I had another antibiotic that was in a bum bag around my stomach and was going into my arm all day. And they changed that as well until they could get this other antibiotic, which Pharmac said okay to. But it's I didn't even think about drinking, I guess I've got so many years up. And a lot of people from AA were coming to see me as well when I was in hospital and when
nice.
I was out. And, it was good. And it's just something that I got to do. And it's keeping me alive. So,
sure.
You know, don't have much option, really.
You said before, oh, it's not really about the drinking anymore, and a lot of AA people say a similar thing, that it's more around their thinking. Can you relate to that? Could you elaborate on that if that's...
Oh, yeah. It's my thinking. I want to change things, or I want to, at work when I'm, and I see nobody else is doing much at work, and I get a bit uptight and want to say something and try not to say anything. And it's learning to, like, another meaning of AA is altered attitudes. And, you know, it's trying to change my behaviour and change the way I think. And with that, you know, your higher power will help you with, yeah.
AA has been described as a spiritual program. What does this spirituality mean to you?
To me, it's a God of my own understanding. I went to church and Sunday school as I was growing up, and there were different times back then. And some of the things that I tried before I came into AA was some churches, but I still didn't feel like I fitted in. So I'd go for a wee bit and then I'd stop. And then where's today? It was funny because the first meeting I went to, I saw the Serenity Prayer, and I'd seen it before. And I thought, oh, yes, that's good, that's good. So today it's a spiritual program, and God of my understanding, who I call God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what would you suggest for any listeners who are out there and maybe they think they have a drinking problem? What would your advice to them be?
To go on the AA website, have a look, and ring somebody, the 0800 AA Works, and just come to a few meetings and see if it's for you. If it isn't, you know, you haven't committed to anything, but...
I wonder if you could tell people out there who are maybe thinking about coming along and they might be really sort of unsure of what a meeting would look like. Could you talk us through what a meeting's like? What happens?
Yes. Well, what I'd suggest, if they rang somebody first, rang the helpline, and somebody could take them to a meeting so they weren't there by themselves, to walk in at first. A meeting is generally you sit in a circle. We have somebody that is the chairperson, and they take the meeting, and it might be on a subject. But if it's a new person come in, they generally, people talk about their stories like we're doing now, and so that they can relate.
Right.
And relating is half of it, and they'll see that we're not a glum lot, that we, you know, laugh and, yeah.
And do they have to talk if they don't want to?
No, they don't. They don't.
So they could just listen.
They could just listen, yeah. Some meetings are open meetings, so anybody can go to it. So, you know, because a lot of Al-Anons go to the open meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks. I wonder if you could tell us the best thing that's ever happened to you sober.
Going to Queen Mary and working on myself and having family week, and my father was going to come for one day or one night or something, and I had to ring him back and say I needed him. Well, I never thought I needed him, you know, and he came for an extra night than what he was going to plan to. And we talked, you know, we talked about different things that happened, and, yeah, it was good because it helped me, and I was a lot closer to him after that.
That's great. I mean, I think a lot of people feel with AA that that it restores a lot of relationships. It's one of the absolute gifts of sobriety,
yes.
And that sounds like a pretty powerful example of that. So, Anne, thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
No problem.
To our listeners, if you've related to anything you've heard or would like some information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up at the web on www.aa.org.nz, or you can call us on 0800 AA Works. There are over 60 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there'll be one near you. Join us next week to hear more from AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 5:30 on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can also find podcasts of our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz, or you can download, subscribe and listen to podcasts on iTunes and Spotify. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. If you want to stop, we can help, and you don't have to do it alone. We will now close with a serenity prayer, as we do in every AA meeting. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9. We'll be right back.